Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Laura, very much. We really appreciate it. Let's turn to Psalm 65 again in your Bible. And if you're using the Pew Bible, that's on page 900 right there. Now, just before we begin, I want to mention another matter that has come up in this past little while. And it actually is regarding Jace, young Jace. And Vicki and Andrew noticed that recently he's had a growth on his leg. And it's about as big as your fist, I guess. There's, you know, quite a bit. And they took Jace to have this looked at, had an ultrasound. And the person who took it was very concerned at looking at the ultrasound, contacted their doctor directly, and they were contacted. And so the reality is that this coming week, Jace in London will go to the hospital and have a number of procedures done to evaluate and assess what is going on here with this lump on his leg. It could be very serious, but we don't know. So pray for Vicki and Andrew and for their family and for little Jace and for the medical system this week as they deal with this. We choose to, we're going to pray for him right now, but we have chosen to make sure he went out so he is not concerned or stressed about this. Okay? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that for little Jace, who's come to be part of not just the Petley family, but he's come to be part of our church family. And we thank you for his life and for the things that we are seeing happen in him that are so encouraging, like him doing better in school and settling down at home. And so often just the difficulty of fostering a child. But right now, Lord, this is a brand new concern of ours. And so we would pray for Andrew and Vicki and for their family and for all those concerned about Jace's care, particularly now and into this coming week. And as he goes to the hospital and he has all these tests done, we pray, Lord, that you will help him as a little guy not to be anxious, but to sense that there are safe people around him, people that really care, and they're coming alongside him to encourage him. And Father, we pray that you'll help the medical system, the doctors and the specialists, to arrive at what is really going on here so that they know how to deal with it. We pray that there will be no doubt as to the diagnosis. And so we pray for Jace today that you'll help him, and we pray for the Petleys. Lift up their hearts. We pray that we thank you that you will be walking with them through this. And so help them. In Christ's name, amen. So we encourage you to write Jesus' name on the back of your bulletin or whatever you use for a prayer guide. That would be most commendable. Well, as I mentioned, it was sort of a relief for me this week to come and not have to look at a whole book and summarize it and study in depth like we've done with the Minor Prophets. And I just thought, okay, this is Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to loosen up. But the more I thought about it, how can a person loosen up on their emotions and be joyful and glad without doing some study? You can't. And it dawned on me as I was reading through this psalm that as God was speaking, and I choose to be a thankful person very intentionally, and I'm fairly focused about it, and it has changed my life and so on. But the reality is that from a Christian perspective, our thoughts or our thanksgiving are to God, and it involves a knowing. When we speak about knowing something, obviously, our concern is that that knowing will be a truthful knowing. It's the issue of information. It's the issue of filling our minds, doing a study. And we, again, know the process that God transforms us as a people. It isn't just by touching our hearts. it starts with impacting our minds. And it moves from there to an understanding and an appreciation within my heart. And then I overflow with a changed life, changed mouth, because Jesus did say out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth does speak. But when it comes to thanksgiving, a change of attitude and a developing gratitude. And so when I read through this psalm, one of the first things that popped into my mind was, when it comes to being a thankful person, because we all know that this is a great weekend to give thanksgiving, but if we really want to be a thankful people, which changes our lives, it changes the way we look at life. If we want to be a thankful people, and that's who God wants us to be, we've got to start with the knowing. And so this psalm, as David writes here, when we read about God doing such great things in our salvation, and then with creation, and then with the land, and then with the producing of a harvest, this was an education to David. And it is to us too. It's God making input into this mind. And as I discussed in our prayer or mentioned, it's through the eye gate, because this is the gate through which information gets in there, or through the ear gate, or through the nose gate. And I could again remind you that having grown up on the East Coast, and I'm a bit biased about, you know, where the wise men come from, but I used to go out in the fall of the year with a rifle because we grew up in a hunting family. Somebody got it, okay. The wise men are from the East, you knew that. But go out in the fall of the year, and I grew up 7 miles from the nearest town where there are mountains just like this all around our farm, dotted with bright red maples and beech and everything else. And you can go out in the woods when the leaves have come down, and you can just suck back the oxygen and just feel it. And so when I see that happening, there's such an appreciation grow because I've been educated. I've done a study. God has filled my mind. And that's where it all begins. It isn't just a simple human education. It's God seeking to get through to me and to you about what he's done. And so the knowing that David seemed to understand here was something that was like evidence planted that became convincing and caused him to break forth in praise because he understood the source. It isn't just a wonderful pictorial view. And it just isn't watching all the wagons of tomatoes and soybeans and all those seed corn and everything else going down the road. It's the fact that God has blessed. But that knowing is so important when it comes to thanksgiving. And I'm thinking of the fact that God has given us the ability to have a mind that can be filled, to receive things, to study things, and to see proof that indeed God exists. In the first few verses here, he does talk about spiritual blessings. O you who hear prayer, verse 2, to you all men come forth, will come. And when we were overwhelmed with our sins, you forgave us our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose. And so all those spiritual things about having forgiveness of sin and a relationship with God and having heaven as our prospect and our assurance, all those are because of God. Prayer, pardon, provision. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can receive a true appreciation for all these good things that you've given to us. The bottom line is that God wants to be personal. That's always his desire. And he wants to open our eyes and help us to see him. This speaks in these first four verses of God's favor upon us. But when you go from verses 6 to 13, and as Bob read there in verse 6 and 7, the power of God in creation, and then He is the sustainer of all things, and His provision in verses 8 and 10. This was great. Those living far away fear your wonders, whose morning dawns and evening fades, and you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly, and the streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges, and you soften it with showers, and you bless the crops. This is the type of God that we know. And this is the knowing that God has brought about in our lives. And so part of the question that I have here, apart from God's power and His provision for us and the plenteous crops that He's provided, do we have the eyes that see even as David does? Because this is a necessity. There's like a knowing in our spirit. It just isn't seeing, but it's really seeing. And this is where praise begins. And then I noticed in the Psalms, this psalm, that there was a crediting going on too. And it's right in verse 1, where it says here, "Praise awaits you, O God." And I don't know if your Bible has it, but mine has a little marginal note. And as I look to that, it really means, "Praise befits you, O God," or "praise is fitting." It's a fitting response to the knowing that I have. A knowing in my mind, but also a deep knowing that it's an understanding that God is the source. And so the sense of giving credit, where I now move from my knowing to my acknowledging, and it is a fitting response because I have an understanding that the source is God. I noticed here and look and counted through this psalm that the word "you" or "your" or the word "who" appears 19 or 20 times. And it's just like David is saying, like, "You, God, are this. And when I look at your creation, you who do all these good things." And it's the issue of giving credit to the one who has so blessed. He is the source of all these things. I wrote down, it's like attributing cause. He is the cause. Creation, in its development, its sustaining, and in all the crops coming forth, this is the effect. And what we see here in this psalm is an acknowledgement of gift. God's gift to us. God's goodness. It's like the hopes of spring now realized in the fall. And so there's such a fulfillment in this song. Praise awaits you. It's so fitting a response when my mind has taken in all this knowledge and I've studied it and saw you in every part of it. And indeed to you, Lord, praise belongs. And so in our own lives, recognizing, like from 1 Corinthians 3, where it is God who makes things grow, there needs to be in my life, not just a knowing, but there needs to be accrediting, giving credit to whom credit is due, giving honor to whom honor is due. It is God's harvest. And do you notice something else happening here? Because not only has God brought about the earth by creation, and He sustains it, and then He's caring for it by sun and rain and other things, and the crops are growing and a harvest is coming forth. But there's another harvest taking place. Because as God plants those great truths in my mind, and I begin to understand He's truly the source of creation, then I also begin to appreciate in my heart that I am unworthy of all these things, and indeed, credit goes to Him. And it's almost like God is sowing in my life now a knowing that leads to a crediting Him. And it's like a harvest is coming forth in me, recognizing that indeed the God of the universe has blessed me as a person. And that awareness now begins to transform how I react to everything I see with the naked eye, and I begin to see the spiritual stuff behind it. And isn't that what God wants us to see? It isn't just the natural. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows His handiwork. Psalm 8. Romans 1. It says, like His eternal power and Godhead are understood by the things that are made. You see God's intent? He's showing us in creation truth, but it goes far beyond just the recognition it exists. It's like, look at what God has done. I actually saw a verse in Acts chapter 14 this week, and I was so taken with it. Acts 14 and verse 17, it says that He has not left Himself without testimony. So God is speaking. It says He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. But the real thought here is this, that God has not left Himself without testimony. In Psalm 8, it refers over and over again how that God is continually speaking. And of course, it just wasn't limited to the nation of Israel, God's people, but it was universal from one end of the heavens to the other. God speaks to the whole earth. Does everybody get it? No. It's almost an assumption that we have daytime and nighttime, seed time and harvest and sun and moon, and we take it for granted. But the scriptures tell us that not only do those things exist, but through those things, God is speaking to us continually of Himself. What a designer. What a creator. How sovereign. What a sustainer. We see His artistic ability, the beauty of the earth and the skies. This crediting is something that needs to be grasped within our hearts to change us and to bring about a harvest in our lives of being a thankful people. A harvest of righteousness, or right thinking as well as right living. And so when I read through this psalm, I thought, boy, you know, it's right here. You can't bypass it. There needs to be a knowing. It always starts here. But then there's that crediting where I really see. And the God who exists, He indeed is behind it all. He's the source. What a truth. But the last thing I saw here was this, that there is a harvest. And this is so obvious in this psalm as we read through it. I was noting particularly verse 11. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. I assume that means sheep. The valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and they sing. So this psalm is written probably for some Thanksgiving festival occasion at God's temple. And of course, this is what this weekend is for us. It's an intentional setting aside of a time when we recognize that all good things are given of God. And so in this psalm, the harvest of blessing comes not only in life, but on the land as well. And again, we recognize a source. But even beyond that, as we've been alluding to, it's the harvest of our changed lives. I choose to be a thankful person. As I've said before, I do not want to be known as a grumpy old man. I choose thanksgiving. And this is God's will for me, and it's God's will for you. It comes with a knowing. It comes with giving God the credit. But praise God, there's a tremendous harvest. And that's like evidence, that's proof that the God who exists, the God of the Bible, the living God, is the one who brings all this about. Perhaps my prayer needs to be, God, if I don't really see this, then praise will not flow from my life. And if I don't really acknowledge you as being sovereign every day when I see this beauty and see this harvest and experience these blessings, if I don't really comprehend and don't really give you credit for that, then naturally I will not overflow with thanksgiving. But it is God's will that we see. And so part of our prayer needs to be, Lord, I'm having maybe a hard time being a thankful person. Do you ever notice how easy it is to go to the negative versus the positive? And sometimes we just gravitate downhill. And as we said before, it's so easy to say bad things about people without commending for the good things. And so sometimes I just have to say to God, God, I'm not seeing too well right now. My knowing is not quite where it needs to be. And my crediting various things that are going on around me and in my life, I don't really see them as being from you. If you have not decreed them, maybe you've at least allowed them. Because even in allowing them, our God has such ability that he can take a very harmful and a very wicked thing, like the death of Jesus, unjust, and he can even take that harmful thing and turn it around in resurrection and bring about a harvest of souls that would not be unless God allowed us and even decreed us to go through a time of plowing and disking, that hurts, and then planting and then cultivating a little bit to keep the weeds out. And God does the farming type thing. And then he waters it. And he causes the sun to shine upon it. And over time, perhaps after great hurt, we know that within our lives, a harvest of holiness and righteousness and thanksgiving. And the old hymn says that God does all things well. And if he spared not his own son, Romans 8:18, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And so God's will is that if we're having a hard time at being a thankful person, we need to realize that God is the one who brings about a harvest. And I have to ask him to do that in my life. And then trust him. Because he may have to do some plowing and harrowing and digging. But trust him. He is helping us to see and to give credit and to rejoice in the harvest that he gives. It's all about him. But we are the ones who work along with him and are rewarded for our co-laboring with God that results in a harvest. That makes us a thankful people. And so praise does await you, O God. And it's our response. It is befitting because He is worthy of it. And indeed, we want to be a people of thanksgiving. This has changed my life. May God help us to follow in these footsteps. Let's take we're not going to take our hymnal, but we're going to see up on the PowerPoint this morning that I've chosen for the closing of our time a Christmas hymn, because two verses have to do with joy, and it was mentioned here in this psalm, which is thanksgiving and overflowing. And note the verses when we sing them. This age-old Christmas hymn really is about thanksgiving as well. Let's stand and sing.
Please stay for refreshments. There's some good cookies left over from somebody's Thanksgiving meal yesterday out there. Also, if you want Operation Christmas Child boxes, they're there. And we hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family. Let's pray. Father, so often we don't see. We just see partially. We need you to open our eyes and open our ears. Help us to take in that which you want us to grasp. And give credit to you. Indeed, you are the God of the universe. You are the living God. And Father, bring about, even as you have brought about on our land, a great harvest of crops, bring about in our lives a harvest of understanding, a harvest of honoring you and being a thankful person. Often we need help with this. And so we ask that you'll transform our lives so that we're the type of people that you want us to be, a thankful people. In Christ's name, amen.